D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. Let's get back into Nico Iamaliava. I feel like I have to enunciate that name. Iamaliava. It hurts my jaw saying it. But I've become a pro at saying it, and soon I won't be saying it anymore because he'll go off to somewhere else. And we're still waiting.
Somewhere out of the SEC.
Yes, he will not be in the SEC. We know that that can't happen.
Well, it could happen, but he'd have to sit out a year.
Correct.
Right?
He wouldn't be able to play this coming season in the SEC.
So then we would get Rusty saying his name, and then 2 years from now we'd have to start all over with our process of enunciating.
He also won't be headed to North Carolina, reportedly. The Tar Heels not interested in paying, and I can't imagine Bill Belichick being fond of a player who isn't on the team anymore because he wanted too much money.
That's one of the questions I have for today.
Yes, you
just
would.
From afar, mm-hmm. Because I still am fascinated by the quarterback roulette that happens so often, has a lot of these guys going into the portal, but rarely do you see a quarterback who is the unquestioned starter and has been the unquestioned starter give up the seat. Now, there could be some things going on behind the scenes that we just do not know about, and that's been your point, mm-hmm. D-Mace, is you really don't have Nico's side of the story at this point. But I rarely see a quarterback go into spring practice where most of the musical chairs have been moved and are set. Most people. There's probably a few teams out there, and this is the key for Nico, and for him to make this bold move, he's got to believe that despite the fact that spring practice is done in just about every camp, right? I don't know how many people have not started their spring practice by this point. Most of them are done. So you've made your assessment of your quarterback position. You've allotted the money. You've named your starter. And I think that bond is a lot. So you would have to love Nico. He's got to be way better. And you've got to have faith that despite him not knowing your offense necessarily, him getting into that quarterback room, knowing that he's the new guy and you are unseating your current guys that have put in the time and the work to get to that spot, you got to think he's that much better. And you've got to have significant dollars, let's call it $3 million, whatever the budget is, to have in your budget that you haven't already allotted to somebody sitting around to pay him. It just takes one. So I'm guessing that this is going to work out for him on some level.
There are
but
two schools.
There's a lot that is set up for him to have a difficult transition initially. It's something had to be going on for him to give up that seat at Tennessee that I just don't know yet. There's been a lot of rumors or whatever, but I find that it to be a really tough decision. I would have a hard time advising him that the grass will be greener on the other side.
There are two schools, I haven't checked in a few days, but there are two schools that I keep seeing whenever I read an article of where could Nico Iamaliava end up? UCLA and USC. Those two programs I see a lot on these lists. I also see, yes, Notre Dame mentioned.
Right.
North Carolina was mentioned, although reportedly the Tar Heels are out. But UCLA and USC I see a
right.
lot.
And I know nothing about the quarterbacks that were the guy that won the job after the spring. But Derek, let's say you're that guy. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm the coach at State U, whatever that is. I look at Nico, I'm like, Nico's pretty good. I've watched him play, he's good. Mm-hmm. But Derek, you're my starter. You won the job. You've been with me for a couple years. You've been waiting for your turn. Mm-hmm. And at the end of spring practice, before I know anything about Nico, I've gone to you and say, Derek, just want you to know you're going to have to work for it in the fall, mm-hmm. but right now you've got the starting job. You're going to start our fall camp as our starter. Mm-hmm. I've told you that. I would really have a hard time going back to you. Hey, Derek, last week I just told you that you're the starter, mm-hmm. But we're going to bring in Nico. It's nothing personal, but I just want to tell you we're bringing in another guy. That would be hard for me.
They do it all the time. I'm not saying it's easy to receive.
I don't think it's all the time.
They do it every year. It happens at every position. It may not be as prevalent at the quarterback position unless
after spring practice. It doesn't happen very often. I don't think.
No, and that's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't happen very like there is situations, and I'm only speaking from my experiences in college. There are situations where come out of the spring, you are like, okay, you've played well enough in the spring to where you the guy. Well, at least you've beat out the guys that are in front of you. But then, hey, listen, either this transfer or whoever, but just say a guy that just got off, he's good
right.
to go now.
Right. From injury reserve. I'll give you an example. Diego Pavia came in after the spring last year.
And won the job.
He won the job. Mm-hmm. He wasn't promised the job. I think what's different here is this is such a big headline case that if somebody is going to pay that much money to bring him in, but I have a hard time if I'm the incumbent at XU saying, oh, man, do I really have a chance to compete for this job? Because I could go to Derek. We're going to make him work for it. I just want to know there's competition for you here.
But when
am I really going to not have played Nico? If we're going to spend $3 million, that's where it gets
You're going to pay him. But my thing is, with Pavia, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he would have came here had he known that, you know, because the coaching staff came, everybody, it was like the offense came.
Right.
So you're coming here knowing.
And they convinced Clark Lee to bring him. Because Clark Lee was like, I've got a guy. I've got the second straight quarterback. Uh-huh. He was in that position.
But there had to have been something said to Pavia. Listen, you come here, maybe it's, yeah, you got to compete, but they're thinking in their mind, you know this offense. We've seen you play. He's seen you play. You're going to win the job.
It couldn't have been easy for the backup last year. I forget his name, and I think he's moved on to somewhere else.
You may have played well enough to win the job, but if another situation presents itself unknowingly, oh, my God, then you are going to say, hey, I'm going to bring this guy, and under the premise of competing, and we all know what that means. Really not competing. I'm just going to say that so no one catches hard feelings or their feelings are not that much, you know, sort of hurt.
I get it. Life is not fair. Exactly. In basketball, I thought I had a chance to graduate up into a bigger role. And there was always another freshman coming in who was a good recruit who ended up being better than me. One of them played in the NBA, and one of them played professionally for a long, long time. We're like, well, life
so
isn't
justified.
Always fair. You don't just get handed a job.
No, you're right.
You've got to beat somebody out. I get that. But I think this would be a hard thing. And conversely, too, Tennessee's got to go find another quarterback somewhere. How tough is it going to be for them to find somebody who they really want? Are they better off just sticking with their plan and maybe bringing in just another body, but just sticking with the guys that they have? They've got two guys that are good recruits that may not be as good as Nico. So I'm really curious to see how they handle that part of it too, because in the spring, there's just less guys in the portal, right?
No, but it's still
unless you want to play the game of, he's not in the portal right now, but let's make some phone calls. And,
and we can
get
him in the portal.
And maybe he'll be in the portal by next Friday.
But he can't go to an SEC school then. He has to go outside the conference.
Right, right.
I read something interesting. We referenced
You're not
Albert.
Supposed to be able to do that, by the way, but people do.
We referenced Albert Breer earlier in the program in this column, his latest column. He also talked about Nico Iamaliava, and he had some interesting perspective, and I would love to get your opinion on it. Quote, maybe he gets a little extra scratch out of this. If so, great. I'd never begrudge an athlete getting what he can because their ability to make money off their gifts is fleeting. So I'm happy for him on that count. But in the big picture, it's hard to imagine it would be worth it. Let's say Iamaliava has a chance to be a first-round pick. By transferring, he'll be forcing himself into a new situation, having already missed spring practice, in a new system with a new set of teammates. He's also naturally raised questions that weren't there previously about his commitment to a team. Yes, there's the argument that coaches do this sort of thing all the time, which is true, but if we're just talking Iamaliava in a vacuum, it seems obvious that NFL teams would look at this and wonder what might happen 3 years from now. So if there's a little natural regression from the transition after a promising first year as a starter and those questions lingering, it sure looks like he could have just negatively impacted his draft stock for whatever extra he makes, if there is even extra at UCLA or some other place. And even if it drops him, say, 15 slots in the draft, that means something. Let's say he'd be the 8th pick if he stayed, in 25th if not. Just to choose two points of reference to compare. He'd go from making around $6 million per year to closer to $3 million per year. Added up over the four guaranteed seasons of a rookie contract, that's $12 million, and that's before you even get to all of the ancillary income players make. Of course, if this was a guy without NFL potential, we'd be talking about something else. But I think as a quarterback, Iamaliava has a ceiling to get to the pros and is probably at this point a victim of taking bad advice. That at least is what the NFL folks and college football staffers I've talked to think. That it's not an agent, but family and handlers perhaps focus too much on what they can collectively make now and not on what's coming.
I think that's fair. I just would ask, did they have all these discussions as a group, the inner circle, whether you want to include the, you know, whoever the agent is.
It's his dad and some family advisor, right?
And it could be different people for different kids, right? But your inner circle, I just hope that those things were discussed because I think those are important things long term, especially if your goal is to someday, which I know it was my dream. I didn't get there.
Yeah.
Everybody's dream, though, for a guy as talented as Nico, I would think, is to end up playing for as long as you can and playing in the NFL, right?
Yeah. Listen, he, whether this hurts his stock or not, if he doesn't develop as a quarterback, obviously it's going to just be another notch against him. That's assuming he doesn't develop more than what he is now. It will... I think it'd do more harm than good, this situation. But like I said yesterday, maybe they know what we don't know. Maybe they know more than what's just being put out there. Because, again, we only hear one side of the story. And I'm not saying that if Nico and his, you know, his circle come out, that it would be like they would convince people that, hey, listen, you know, Tennessee's in a row. I don't know. But we understand the narrative that's being pushed right now. So if he doesn't develop as a quarterback, if he's just stay right where he's at, it's going to hurt him. If this kid develops into a surefire top five pick at quarterback and he's winning games, I don't think it's going to affect him to a point where if I believe you are a franchise quarterback, I may not draft you number one overall because, you know, because I got the fifth pick, but I like you. But if I got the fifth pick and you're on the board and I saw what you did in college as far as producing on the field, and yeah, you had that one sort of miss out, but I know, like, the real story, like, I know both sides here. No, I ain't going to buy. No, I'm drafting.
But, okay.
I'm drafting.
What I hear a lot of people say, and I think we've seen examples of it, is when you change and you haven't been there for spring practice and you show up. Now, the case of Pavia is unique in that he'd already played for those exact coaches.
Yeah, that
knew
that
exactly
offense,
the system. He knew the offense. But if you're coming in to learn a new offense and you only have the summer workouts and then the fall practice, if it takes you half a season to get going, I think coaches have talked about this a lot. They don't name names necessarily, and it could be by people outside of quarterback, but especially a quarterback. And your numbers suffer a little bit as a result. I do think that's used against you in the evaluation because they do look at your production.
And what's interesting is within the past hour on three, Pete Nagos, who blew the lid off of this story, according to On Three Sports, multiple schools are waiting to see if Tennessee transfer Nico Iamaliava's NIL demands drop in the coming days. Multiple programs are ready to become contenders if he is open to a deal closer to $1 million.
And that may be for a number of different reasons. Maybe they're not willing to just hand him the job. And B, they may just have shot their budget. They may have already allotted. Exactly. Like there may be a limit to what they can spend in the spring portal.
But I think people got to – we got to – because this story isn't being told either. Because when you're talking about – when they say NIL, I think we are looking at it from the standpoint of Tennessee didn't want to pay. Like the university – didn't want to pay. okay, if the university didn't want to pay or those
didn't want to renegotiate and pay more than they had allotted and agreed to.
Exactly. But when you say that, I'm trying to understand this. When you say, when people say UT didn't want to renegotiate the NIL deal, so was he making money outside of that NIL? Because these are two different things now. The NIL is totally different from something else. So, because companies can pay for your services. Like, of course. I'm a dealership.
That's what the whole thing was supposed to be about to start with.
But
right?
What I'm saying is that
you're supposed to be able to cash in on your name.
But it's less about those sorts of things. And NIL is basically a signing bonus.
No, who pays out the – okay.
The collective.
Let me
– The collective pays
who
the money.
Who pays out the NIL?
Collective.
The collective. The collectives are
– And Tennessee had one of the first powerful collectives.
They got
ahead of the curve with that.
Are they
and
an
Nico
extension?
Nico was one of their first high school guys that got guaranteed money while he was still in high school.
It was a big
landmark case.
I get that part. But what I'm saying is this. The collective, are they an attachment of the school? Like,
yes.
Or are they
I think they are.
Tentacles? Like, are they just boosters that are sitting over here that put all this money together? Like, the school has something else.
Right.
But
they're not supposed to be directly linked to the school, but they are.
Exactly.
The coach knows what's going on. There's a connection.
Okay.
They're all connected,
So they need to rephrase it. The collective decided not to pay. Not the head coach, Heupel. Not the university.
But honestly, do you think the
collective
didn't go to Josh Heupel and say, all right, this is what's going on here?
But I'm sure
thumbs
if
up,
Josh,
thumbs down. What do you think?
I'm sure if Josh Heupel wanted him, they would have gave him the money. I'm sure. Maybe he did want him, and they were just saying, no, we run this. And no, you tell them, you tell Nico, good, thank you for your service, but we're going to move forward. Instead of the collective coming in and saying, hey, young man, go about your business, we're not paying you. So that's what I want to understand. Like, because the next school, they're collective. They may have a collective together that say, man, we can only give him, you know, $1 million. But then some other millionaire or billionaire that ain't part of collective, can that person then say, you know what, even though I know I'm not a part of the collective, I want to give him some extra
money.
I'll supplement. Now, will they?
That's a great question.
615-737-1025. We'll pick this up on the other side. Let's also talk about Tennessee as a destination because they might need a quarterback. 615-737-1025. We'll get to that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
This is kind of a really great gig for whoever can get it, right? Like, because Tennessee is in a position, like, I know they didn't beat Ohio State in the playoff last year.
Defense is still good.
Do you remember,
and you're still surrounded by some pretty good players.
Do you remember the fans and how much they got behind going to Ohio Stadium? Yeah, they're blue bonnets. Thank you, Lotus. They were blue bonnets. That's what the flowers were. That is a fan base that is just dying to love you. Dying to love you. It is a big-time program and a big-time conference that will make you a millionaire. Plays in one of the most iconic stadiums in college football, and they are at a place where they are dying to love their quarterback. Like, in terms of big-time football and being coveted in a way that you might not be coveted other places, like, this is a tremendous opportunity and a very sexy opportunity for somebody who wants to step into that role. And whoever steps into that role will automatically start 5 or 6 spots ahead of where a quarterback typically does in the admiration department, because Tennessee is hurt by what happened here. They might act like they don't care.
You could be the greatest rebound QB of all time.
Yeah.
This is the greatest rebound relationship ever.
If Tennessee goes out and gets somebody and then they perform, Tennessee might be like the sexiest spot to land imaginable.
That was Ari Wasserman of On Three. He wrote a column. Tennessee becomes the dream destination for any quarterback willing to seize the moment. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. By the way, during the break, we received a text from Joe Rexroad clarifying what we were talking about earlier. He said, quote, "There are no financial decisions made by these collectives independent of the head coaches. It's just shell game BS. These are salaries decided on by coaches and their GMs, if right. they have one. The collectives just raise the money and serve as middlemen.
Right. I've always understood that to be true, regardless of what the rules are. But I think, Derek, you still ask an interesting – if you get a random outsider that mm-hmm. you can get, make a deal on your own, if it's just like a local car dealership or something like that, there's nothing that keeps you from doing that. But that would take work and time and effort and not just being handed the money, which is a lot easier to say, how much money am I getting paid? You're getting paid X? Oh, thank you. I'll take it. Then well, I don't have to go out and talk to Tom's Pizza mm-hmm. Joint and Jimmy's car dealership and Mr. Smith's insurance and get $1,000 over here, which is what the idea was. Or mm-hmm. I'll do a card show over here, or I'll do an autograph signing session, and I'll sign jerseys all day. And like that would be sort of running your own business. You can do that, and that's separate of the collective, but that takes work. Mm-hmm. Why do that when you could just be handed a paycheck?
Well, I mean, they were getting ready to give you the remainder of the monies owed to you, but you chose to walk away. Now, I'm not going to vilify this young man again. I'm just not. I don't know the whole story. You know, I just hope people are giving him really good advice and the notion that a 19, 20-year-old shouldn't listen to his parents who've been there for him the whole time. Whether you deem his parents giving bad advice or not, when I was 19 years old, when I was 20, I leaned heavily, when it talked about big decisions, I leaned on my family. I leaned on my mom and dad. Why? Because these are the people that I trust. And you just hope that they're getting now, it was never to this magnitude in regards to college and money and all that stuff. But I tend to believe that if the big decision was being made at that time when I'm 19, I am going to look to my parents because that's who you look to every time when you're a kid. You look to your mom and your dad to try to help you figure things out. So the notion of, and I'm talking to Jared, the notion of, oh, he's a grown man. Listen, one minute you want him to be a grown man, next minute you want him to be a kid. Which one is it? This young man is still under his family's insurance, I'm sure. He still go when he goes back to California, where does he go? To his parents' house, I'm sure. I'm sure he still calls his mom and dad and hug them when they're at the games and love on them and look for that support when things aren't going right. Who's the first person he calls? I'm sure it's his mom and his dad. So to sit here and think that if all of that is happening, I'm then not supposed to lean on my parents. Again, if you don't think his parents are getting good advice, that's totally different from trying to blame the kid now for a decision that was made. Yes, ultimately, it goes that his names are in the headline. Nico's names are in the headline, but I'm not going to sit here and vilify this young man especially when I don't know the whole story. I'm not going to vilify him and say, well, he's a grown man now. He needs to make better decisions. Man, come on. You know better than that.
Let's discuss what we heard from Ari Wasserman, this idea of Tennessee as a dream destination. And I love the analogy of the greatest rebound quarterback, right? You're going to look awful sexy to these Tennessee fans if you come in and you play better than Nico Iomaliava after he spurned the program, or perhaps, you know, depending on how you look at it. Either way, it did not end well. When you look at Tennessee, you look at the team they have, the atmosphere in the stadium, the fan base. I mean, what is there not to like about Tennessee as an opportunity for
color
quarterback?
No, I'm just playing. Ball fans, I'm just playing with y'all.
Orange is not my color. Orange is not my color. I don't own anything that's orange, but for those of you who can wear it with pride,
yeah.
good for you.
All of those things that Ari Wasserman just pointed out are reasons why I would be asking the question if I'm in Nico's inner circle.
Why did I give all of that up?
Nico, you have a name. You are the unquestioned starter for a playoff team. Is it worth giving all of that up for X amount of dollars, if you can get those X amount of dollars? That's what I would be leaning on.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's not the decision was made. So let's move on. That's water under the bridge. So now let's present what they're saying for Tennessee as they go into the portal, and Josh Heupel says, we got to get another guy. They only have two scholarship quarterbacks. One is very, very young, and the other one is what, a sophomore?
A redshirt freshman.
Redshirt freshman. Neither of them have played, only in the blowouts. The one kid played in the huge blowouts. Now, I'm sure they were both pretty well recruited, but let's talk about who will be in the portal. Yes, this is a great place, but the type of guy they're looking for, because what's the fan base saying, this great fan base that they're talking about? And they are great. They're passionate.
Jake Berklinger is a redshirt freshman. George yes. McIntyre is a true freshman.
From Brentwood Academy, yes. right?
Shout out.
Okay. What's the fan base saying? Hey, forget about Nico. We'll get another guy better than Nico, and he's going to appreciate the Big Orange, and he's going to lead us to the second round of the third. We're going to win the college.
No one's bigger than the power team.
Right. That's how they should feel. Yeah. They're jilted, mm-hmm. right? They're ticked off at Nico. So is that next guy, if they get another guy and he wins the starting job, what's the expectation level on that guy?
Yeah, he
pretty
better,
high.
Yeah.
Now, that guy's coming in. He hasn't gone to spring practice. Hasn't played for Josh Heupel before. And if you're a good starting quarterback, you got to be outside the SEC, consider, right? Nobody's coming from the SEC. You can't go into that league. So you got to go to the Big Ten or the Big 12. Is somebody giving up their starting seat, mm-hmm. who's good enough to be better than Nico, and just leave his team high and dry? Maybe. You'd have to overpay, probably. Well, you might have to lure him out. I'm not saying what you would do, but mm-hmm. the T word might be involved. Tampering. Mm-hmm. It does happen.
I was going to say tanking.
No.
What are they tanking for? No,
but,
that's what you're
saying. But look, like the quarterbacks likely to be in the spring portal are quarterbacks that probably what? Didn't win the job in the spring.
Yeah, and they're looking
and are saying, well, I got to get out. I got to cast my lot somewhere else. Are those guys likely to be better than the two guys that Tennessee already has?
You never know.
Are they even going to be close to Nico's tool set? Tennessee is in a tough spot here, and that kid, whoever that kid ends up being, if they get that kid and pry him away from XYZ school, where I'm sure they're being paid pretty well, unless they're pulling up from a lower level that doesn't have anything competitive NIL, mm-hmm. or they get sort of a magical perfect storm with the Diego Pavia type who was playing at a lower level. Who's that going to be? I think you're putting this guy on a pedestal right now and say, oh, Tennessee should be able to get anybody they want. I don't know. You can't get him from the SEC.
Here is three things that we need to think about. Maybe really two. Because this thing can change in the blink of an eye. And that question is sort of like, now that you've sort of moved away from Nico, that is one of those questions. Is this an opportunity for someone to seize and step into that role? Whereas if Nico was there, they're going to have to wait for another year or two. Is a guy ready for that? Well, okay, if he's ready, then great. Good riddance. See you, Nico. Don't, let the dough hit you where the good Lord split you. We see you. We got something better. That's great. And for Vol fans, I know they're hoping that is what happened. And I'm not wishing ill against me. I'm wishing ill against UT either. But here's the thing. Nobody's going to say anything about it, especially not now, especially coming off of a playoff berth. Heupel got to be very careful here. He's got to be very careful for this reason and the collective for this reason. Because, quarterback comes in. If that quarterback bombs and your team wins five games, oh, my goodness, I can hear it now. Well, I can hear it now. Let me finish this.
Okay.
I can hear it now. Vol fans, they going to be very, very angry. Ultimately, he's going to be the guy that takes the fall for what the collective decided not to do. He may ultimately be that guy. But then also, there may be another Nico come through here. I'm just saying as far as rankings. He's a five-star. Everybody think he's great. They may look at Nico's situation and like, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't. Because, listen, if I outperform this a year contract or 2-year contract y'all gave me, and I want to come back to the table. It seems like y'all ain't coming back to the – and I'm not saying what they did was right or wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just giving you, like, the alternative, like, what people could be thinking. Like, Heupel, you may be on a hot seat if you only win five games, and you place in the middle of the pack in the SEC. You may – they may start – pitchforks may start forming against you and the collective. But the collective will be able to survive it. Why? Because they got the money. You ain't going to be able to survive it. But then that next five-star, where they may get hit, is that five-star number one recruit decides, I don't want to go to Tennessee because I saw what they did to Nico. So I'm going to Alabama or I'm going to Georgia, because Georgia and Alabama seem to not have done that to their players. It didn't happen in that way at Georgia and in Alabama. They haven't had this situation. But in a kid's mind, he's thinking, they didn't do that. You did that. So when you're looking at this, you may be – we're looking at the fallout for Nico, and there may be a huge fallout here for him if he doesn't develop and become a top-notch quarterback. There will be some downfalls to that. Well, nobody's talking about the potential downfall for one, Heupel, and then for the university possibly losing a recruit because of what you chose to do. You can argue with me all day and say it would never happen. Okay, maybe it doesn't. But it may never happen that Nico feels the ramifications from what he did.
615-737-1025. We can continue this conversation and more as we make our transition from DVD to Stillman & Company. Jared Stillman will join us in the next segment to wrap up the show. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace Fingan and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Stillman & Company coming up next. We'll be live at the BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena tomorrow, Predators season finale against the Stars, but also the Braves Country Road Trip. So come out and see us at BetMGM Sports Lounge, but as we transition to Stillman & Company, we, of course, now welcome in the one and only Jared Stillman. Jared, we spent a lot of time today talking about Legarius Sneed. We talked about your interview yesterday with the attorney representing the alleged victim. As you look back at that interview, what were your biggest takeaways from your conversation?
I mean, I think that my biggest takeaways were, it seems like they got proof that Sneed at least was a part of this. You know, was Sneed the one pulling the trigger? They don't know. But do they have a video of Sneed's Lamborghini and Sneed in the Lamborghini and everything else? Yeah, they got that. So it's really hard for me after that conversation. And I know the guy I was talking to was not some honest, you know, unbiased source. I mean, there's another side to this story. And it's the Legarius Sneed side, but it does sound like they have the proof that Legarius Sneed was at the car lot. Legarius Sneed was in the car. It was Legarius Sneed's Lamborghini, and they shot up the car lot, and I got a hard time getting over that one.
The one question you did ask the attorney yesterday, which I'm glad that you did, is referencing that quote from the attorney in the Teresa Walker story in the AP about a pattern of behavior. This is just an example of a pattern of poor behavior by Legarius Sneed. Then you asked the attorney for more information, and he basically was like, nah, I don't really have anything. That did not sit well with me. I felt that was a little slimy.
Well, you're a reporter, and normally, you know, in a news story, it's, again, you want to get down to the facts and everything else. I heard the one texter that texted into the show, I forget who it was, but said to you guys, I mean, what's the likelihood that he was letting Sneed's camp know, hey, there's more in the kitty here, and if you don't settle up with us, which, again, that's his goal, right? Mm-hmm. The civil attorney representing the alleged victim who is suing Legarius Sneed, that's his goal, is to get a settlement. And what usually gets settlements done? NDAs. We have the information, we're not going to say. I mean, if I had to be completely honest with you, and there's some assuming that I'm doing here, but if I had to be completely honest with you, I would tell you guys this. I think they probably do know stuff about Legarius Sneed that we don't know, and they're probably keeping it in the back saying, hey, you know, we got stuff here. We want to go to court. These things come out, and then all of a sudden, and that is what forces people into a settlement. So that was the vibe I got, was that, you know, it was, hey, there's more to this, and if we go to court, you'll see. Now, what do they have? We don't know. Is it anything? Again, we don't know. We have to remember, when it came to interviewing this attorney, this is not the same as interviewing the police officer who arrived on the scene. We're interviewing somebody who has a goal here. Like, he has a legit, it's like interviewing a coach. Like, the coach has his own agenda. This guy had his own agenda too, and I think we need to remember that, that it was not exactly a, while it was for me a fact-finding mission, it was not exactly a fact-presenting mission on his part as much as it was getting his side out there.
Yeah, and I look at it, and you are right, you know, in regards to several things that we have been talking about with L'Jarius Sneed. One is, and I think one of the most important is, if indeed it is, you know, allegedly L'Jarius Sneed, you know, or whoever else pointed a gun outside of his car and shots were fired, that just as a company, that makes you think about that player, and it makes you think, okay, if we feel this was a bad deal, and maybe the Titans have never come out and say that, if indeed, you know, this alleged incident really did happen from the standpoint of they found fault, now you get suspended by the league, because that's what you said, and you're absolutely right in regards to that. Like, he will get suspended, and then now it's up to the Tennessee Titans. They will show you exactly how they feel about L'Jarius Sneed, because in their minds and in your mind, this would be an opportunity to get out, because they have every reason to.
Sure. I mean, I think that if I'm the Titans, I'm rooting for the commissioner to suspend L'Jarius Sneed. And then that would then allow me to save at least $26 million, maybe even more if they go after the signing bonus, which they would have every right to do. And all he's got to do is suspend him for one game. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, well, he hasn't suspended Rashee Rice. So what's going to – how's he – again, the commissioner acts however the commissioner wants. And if the Titans want the commissioner to suspend L'Jarius Sneed, I have a hard time believing that he won't suspend him before the start of the season. So if I'm the Titans, I mean, again, you know, we want to believe this process is on the up and up, but I think we've seen too many times with Goodell that there are agendas that push that as far as the commissioner's exempt list is concerned and suspensions they have. I actually put a poll question out there, and I want all three of your opinion on this, which is, do you think L'Jarius Sneed ever plays a snap for the Titans again, between the knee injuries and the what we know off the field? You know, there have been some other things that were bubbling up during the season, you know, inside the locker room that had gotten, you know, had gotten into the at least discourse verse. Do you think L'Jarius Sneed plays another snap for the Titans?
Again, I want to be totally transparent with this. What do you mean by the bubbling up, like the things I know about? Well, is it what kind of injury is it, and him going out and doing sort of like the little thing in front of his locker room and him saying what he's saying? What else is there that's bubbling up other than, you know, he's injured and maybe this wasn't the greatest of moves that Rand Carthon made? But outside of that, I need to know, in order to answer this question fairly, what else is bubbling up?
There was a lot of talk last year, mm-hmm, at the end of the year that Sneed had been, when he was present in the locker room, had been a very negative, trying to think the right way,
player.
When talking to the team about, I mean, Sneed went in the locker room, told everybody they suck. That's what, you know, again, I had heard at the end of last season was that Sneed was very negative as far as where the team was headed and everything else, and that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Okay, so I'm answered. I will answer it this way. If nothing is found out further, if the league doesn't suspend him, and I don't think the Titans can force the league to suspend him, because if it ever comes out that you sort of strong arm or winked that the league should suspend him so you can get out of contract, they're going to be more trouble than that was even worth. So I think if the league is going to suspend him, they're going to suspend him, regardless of what the Tennessee Titans think. But I think he plays another down. But if he gets – if they find out that – if the league determines that he had some responsibility and all that and they suspend him, I don't think he ever plays another down here.
I think I would say the probability would be that he would play another down. That's not much.
Yeah. Another season.
That's not much. I mean, no, he said another down. Jared's question is another down. I'd say the probability is he plays somewhat. Now, I can't guarantee he's going to stay healthy.
When is it settled? You know, all of this settled. If it's not settled until next year.
I think you're hoping it would be settled by training camp.
I would agree with Jared, though, that if I'm the Snead camp, if there's something there, I would try to be settling as quickly as I could to put it behind
me. But if there's fault, if the league finds fault.
Right. Well, but let's look at what this is. Is this a year-long suspension? Probably not.
No.
It might be a game or two. That, you know, depending on what they find. And then there's all these. I think the Titans would be in the best interest of the Titans if they could find value in Snead somewhere, either on the field or as a trade, rather than just, hey, we get out of the contract. Like, if you're rooting for that, that's not a good end game. I don't think.
Now, remember this, though. If there's any sort of suspension from the league, the guarantee's void. Mm-hmm. But as a vested veteran, if let's say that the commissioner suspends him for one game, if he's on the roster after the first game or at the start of the first game, then his contract as a vested veteran becomes guaranteed for the entire season.
Now, that's okay.
So it really is.
Who are you going to spend it on this year?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of it depends. No, don't even say that.
What did he say?
He
Jalen
said,
Ramsey.
Yeah, okay. No.
Well, one of them's facing criminal charges right now, and the other one's not. One of them has a knee injury, the other one doesn't.
The one is facing whatever he's going through now, and the other is declining play.
Bring him home.
Are you trading for Jalen Ramsey?
Exactly, because that's what you have to do and pay him his $25 million that he's guaranteed.
Yes.
Willie said,
where would you rather spend the money?
No, you're not spending money
on a guy who's not hurt.
An aging player that has been hurt.
But what are you trading?
Oh, I think that right now the Dolphins, they're looking to get anything. You could trade a fifth-round pick.
Well, why trade a pick?
Why give up a fifth-round pick?
You're not going to win either way.
Why give up a fifth-round pick for an aging player that has dealt with his injuries? And I'm not saying, listen, Ramsey was great at one point. One of the best, if not the best, corner in the business. But he's not that now. Though, how do you think Miami's trying to get rid of him? Because they don't want to have to pay the $25 million that they don't believe he's worth.
Isn't that what the issue was with Snead
exactly.
leaving Kansas City?
If you take him, aren't you promoting what you always say? You don't want the Titans to be a dumb organization?
Jared, you have said they have, from day one, said they need more picks. They need more picks. So why give up another pick for a guy that's not going to help you win this year?
Because I don't care about the day three picks. Those are I'm talking
about.
That's
what you say now. I don't care about the day three.
Maybe good picks, not bad ones.
Jared, you've got
like
4 hours.
It's like Carthon trying to sell the Malik Willis pick they got from the Packers in the seventh round.
You've got 4 hours to continue this conversation. We will be back at 11 o'clock tomorrow, live from the BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena. Come see us, Braves country road trip, Predator season finale. Still in a comedy coming up next.
Be love, love on the people in your circle and those outside of your circle. Please have a wonderful, blessed, and safe day. Peace.